Blog Talk Radio.
Do you recall the Osiris Club?
Oh, yeah. Ship joint in Jersey.
Now, the other one, the British Occult Society, formed in 1866 by the ranking members of the Heliopic Brotherhood of Ra.
Ra? I met Ra once in the underworld. He's the close talker.
Well, like us, they fight against the forces of darkness, and our organizations have a long-standing relationship. They're old friends of mine, and they've requested your assistance with a giant problem.
Oh, yeah? What's up?
Giant.
Welcome, everybody, to Cinema Royale. I am Travis Hobson of the Punch Drunk Critics, and that clip you just heard was from Hellboy. Now, this is the new rebooted Hellboy, directed by Neil Marshall, who did The Descent some years back. And I think he's kind of been living off that movie for a while now. And stars David Harbour from Stranger Things. Not the most obvious choice to play Hellboy. But I was a fan of Harbour a long time ago. He's this theater character actor. He's been around for a little while. Stranger Things really blew up his profile, though, and he's become sort of a fanboy favorite ever since. And he takes over the role of Hellboy that Ron Perlman made so popular a few years ago. And there was some animosity from a lot of fans who really loved Ron Perlman's take on Hellboy and Guillermo del Toro's vision for the character that we saw in two movies. But, you know, those two movies never made a ton of money. And Lionsgate thought, you know, well, for one thing, Guillermo del Toro now is a much bigger, higher profile director than he was back then. Probably commands a lot more, too. So they figured, let's just start over with a darker, R-rated version of Hellboy's story. So I'm going to talk about that with my friend, Karen Peterson from Award Circuit, who I see is waiting already. She's right there in my queue. Let me bring her on in a second. But if you heard the opening theme of this week's show, you already know what I'm really excited to talk about, which is that Star Wars trailer that debuted yesterday. I was talking to a buddy of mine, we're both sort of in this, and we're like, yeah, you know, Star Wars Celebration, we'll probably get a teaser, maybe, you know, maybe we'll find out the title of the movie, maybe that's what we'll get, but nah, within really minutes of Star Wars Celebration beginning, we had the title and we had a trailer for Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker, an ironic title, I would say, considering it is the end, quote-unquote, of the Skywalker saga. I've got my theory on why they've titled it that, and the teaser certainly reveals a few things as well. So we're going to be talking about that also, and I definitely want to get Karen's opinion on that, because I think she's probably not as happy as I am. I don't know. It's called a hunch. I think she might not be as happy as I am about the trailer. But before we do that, before I bring her on, I want to thank everybody who has continued to tune in to Cinema Royale every week. You know, this show has been around since 2012, which is just crazy to me when I think about it. And you guys have largely stuck with me, even when I get flaky on doing it every week. You guys have stuck around, and I appreciate that. You can continue to find this here on Blog Talk Radio every single week. You can find us also as part of Critical of the Movie Critics Network, which is here on Blog Talk Radio. And, of course, you can find me at punchdrunkcritics.com. And if you're in D.C., you can find me in a number of other outlets as well. next week, April 20th, next Saturday, I'm going to be co-hosting a Avengers Marathon event over at Hashtag Studios in Chantilly, Virginia. I'll be showing all three Avengers movies so far, The Avengers, Age of Ultron, and Infinity War, back to back to back. And we'll also be hosting a live version of our new Twitch show, Smash Cut, with me and my fellow Punch Drunk critic, John Nolan. So you can get tickets to that right now. You can find them on Facebook. I will leave a link to the event on the Cinema Royale Facebook page. You can get tickets there. It's going to be a lot of fun. The hashtag arena is this. It's a gaming arena. We have live online gaming events, board game events, Magic the Gathering. We also have movie screenings there as well. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on there. It's a fantastic place, a great place to watch movies with your friends. I really suggest you guys come out and check it out. It's next Saturday, April 20th. Like I said, you get all three movies back to back to back. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right. Let's go ahead and bring Karen on here now because I know she's dying to talk Hellboy. I had heard a little birdie told me that it's one of her favorite movies. Karen, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm feeling pretty good. It's Saturday, so, and I usually do the show on Sunday, so it feels a little bit weird for me. But, you know, yeah, it's good. It's good. Not getting it out of the way. It makes my Sunday a little bit easier. So how are you? What's going on?
Oh, you know, what's been going on this week is I've been trying to catch up with Game of Thrones for tomorrow. So
I've
watched so much Game of Thrones this week.
Yeah.
But I made time for a couple of movies. So.
Everybody's talking about Game of Thrones, of course. If they're not talking about the Star Wars trailer, they're talking about Game of Thrones. And I was looking up events for Game of Thrones tomorrow, and there's a bunch of them out here in D.C. And I'm like, hey, I wish I could attend some of these, but I'm not going to have time to go to any of them, which kind of sucks. And I'm going to have to avoid spoilers because I probably won't watch it until, like, super late, like when everybody else has already long since watched it. So it's going to be another week of me, like, trying to avoid social media for the evening, which kind of sucks.
Sorry, yeah. No, I agree. Like, luckily
okay?
I get to yeah, no.
Are you okay?
I wasn't sure if you were gonna continue on to a different topic or not. So
No.
Happy to avoid social media spoilers sucks.
All right. Let's talk about Hellboy. That's what you're here for. Although I'm gonna keep you over to talk about Star Wars as well.
Okay.
Yeah, but let's talk about Hellboy. And like I said in the beginning, this is a reboot, not a sequel to the earlier movies. This one is directed by Neil Marshall and stars David Harbour. Mila Jovovich plays the Blood Queen. Dano De Kim is Ben Damio. And Sasha Lane, who I'm a huge fan of, plays Alice. Ian McShane is in here, too, is Hellboy's father, who runs the BPRD, which is the Bureau of Paranormal Research and Development. And I'm a big fan of the Hellboy character. I always have been. And one of the things I really like about the Hellboy character is that there aren't a lot of comic book characters that can exist in multiple different genres, but Hellboy is one of them. Like, I feel like Del Toro's movies, while they were sort of macabre and all that, but they were fun, and I think they were lighthearted macabre. This one is. And that worked for Hellboy, and there are plenty of comics that are like that as well, featuring Hellboy. But there are also the horror comics for Hellboy, and I think this movie is appealing to those people. This is a much darker, just the R-rated Hellboy. Very, very violent. I can't stress how violent this movie is. People getting ripped apart and decapitations and all sorts of other really nasty happening to people. But Hellboy works well in that world as well. I found myself enjoying this, even though I recognize right off the bat that it's going to be really polarizing, especially the people who liked the first two movies. Neil Marshall is not the director Del Toro is. in terms of visuals. He's not as imaginative at all. And I found myself liking David Harbour's version of Hellboy. I think he gets the attitude right. I don't think he quite fits the role as naturally as Ron Perlman does. That's partially because Ron Perlman looks like Hellboy. He's not in makeup. Anyway, but I did enjoy Harbour, and I really liked Sasha Lane and Ian McShane as well. And I even like Dana Day Kim in his role too. I'd love to see a BPRD movie that's not just about Hellboy. So I came out on the positive end of this. The movie's getting killed by critics. The last I looked, it was at 11% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is really awful. I think it's better than that. I already know the answer to this question, but what did you think of Hellboy, Karen?
Oh, man. So I honestly, I don't know why I let you talk me into going to see this thing. I really don't know what I was thinking. But I just, I found it really boring.
Yeah.
You know, there's lots of action, there's lots of visual effects going on, there's all these jokes, there's all this stuff happening, and yet I just found myself so bored by it, which really surprised me. Because, I mean, the violence, you know, I've seen a lot of really violent movies, and I don't necessarily love watching people get their heads chopped off or get ripped in half, but in this case, it was just like, okay, you can stop now. Not because it was grossing me out, just because it was like, I've seen this already 800 times. Like, you've overkilled
it. It's excessive. I would say it borders on really being excessive. Mm-hmm. It really does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially towards the end, it starts to become overwhelming, I think.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. Now, the thing is that I've never seen the Del Toro Hellboy films. They're movies that have been on my list to watch for a long time. I've just never gotten around to them. Not because I'm not interested, I just haven't made the time. But so this was my first real, true introduction to the character, and I found it very, I don't know. I thought that David Harbour, sometimes he sounds really like just this big, dumb guy, and then other times he sounds really capable and like he's thinking through things, and it felt like it didn't match, and I didn't understand what was going on there. The dialogue, some of it is so terrible. It's like, it just made me cringe because it was so badly written. And I just felt like that through the whole movie. There's just moments where I'm like, why would they do that? And then, you know, after, of course, there's all these stories coming out about how, like, David Harbour helped rewrite the script. And I'm like, why would you admit to that?
Yes, and that's something that I didn't bring up, and I was going to bring up in a little bit, but those who don't know, a story emerged, and this always happens when a really high-profile movie gets trashed and looks like it's going to be a bomb, which Hellboy, it might end up being a bomb, but then I don't remember how much it cost. But a story emerged basically that there were issues on set fights between the director, Neil Marshall, and star David Harbour, and even Ian McShane was in on it, as well as the producers. And basically, it's a big power play. And for a movie like Hellboy that is star-driven, the star is going to win in that situation. It's always going to be the case. Basically, Harbour and McShane were rewriting their lines, like, on set, like, when Marshall was telling them not to do that. They were doing it anyway. There were creative struggles between Marshall and the producers. The producers flexed their muscle by firing his cinematographer. There was a whole big thing about a tree that they didn't like the way it looked. And that was a stupid fight. I thought that was dumb. But the big part was the fact that after, in post-production, the producers basically took over the editing of the film. They took it away from Marshall. That's the biggest part, I think. And so, you know, one of the issues that I have with the movie is that the story is largely incoherent. Even though I can have fun with certain, and like I said in my review, I had fun with Hellboy as outside of anything that had to do with the Blood Queen, because I thought the Blood Queen stuff was really stupid, and I didn't think much of Milla Jovovich's villain. I didn't think she had a whole lot to do. But the stuff where he's just like out there fighting giants and things like that, taking on paranormal threats. That stuff works, because I think that's what Hellboy's best at. If they had largely stuck to that, they would have been perfectly fine. But they throw in all this other crap, as well as trying to retell his origin in a way, and do the whole thing where he's prophesied to bring about the end of the world. It was all too much. And they would divert into one area, then divert into another. And there's just so much going on. And I was like, this movie doesn't make any sense. And now we may have an idea as to why, Karen.
Yeah, well, the thing is that, because going into this, I was really wondering why they didn't just do a sequel to the last Hellboy movie. And this is, even as someone who hasn't seen those, I just thought it would have made a lot more sense. Those aren't that old. They have been really liked by the people who have seen them, which, no, they haven't been widely viewed. But I think that if this had just been a sequel where it's, like, just more of the stuff that he's into and more, like, tracking down, like you said, the giants and stuff, that would have been interesting. And then it would have made me go, oh, yeah, I need to go back and watch those other movies, you know.
Right.
But there's this weird sense now that, oh, well, if we're going to recast the main character, then we can't do a sequel. We have to start over. But it's like, if you go back to the 90s, with Batman, I mean, a couple of the Batman movies weren't bad. It goes downhill once they cast George Clooney, but I don't even think that was Clooney's fault. But, like, the Val Kilmer one wasn't bad, and he took over that character without rewriting the entire story all over again, you know?
Right.
And so it can be done, and it has been done. And I wish that they had taken the time to do it in this case. And it would be interesting to see how it might have turned out if they had just let the director do what he wanted to do and tell the story that he wanted to tell. But I agree with you completely. It's completely incoherent. And this is, because it's a case of just too many people having their hands in it creatively. And it just, it doesn't work when you don't have one person or, you know, sometimes two really at the helm.
There's this whole sequence, like right in the middle of the film where he falls into into another world where he's met by the witch Baba Yaga, who is the child murdering witch from fairy tale legend. And it's like, it's a cool sequence, I think, you know, but it's just, it has no real bearing on the movie, like no real impact on the story.
Yeah.
It's like, and in fact, it adds a detail that is totally not followed up on at all, you know, because he makes this sort of bargain with her, and it's like, okay, is this setting up like a sequel or something? I mean, first of all, that's wildly optimistic of them to think that there's going to be a sequel. But even so, it teases this whole like this whole thing between them that it's like it expects us to know it, but we don't have any like insight into it. It's really strange. And I was like, why is this here?
I was so confused. I had no idea what was going on by that point. I was just like, was I not paying close attention? I don't understand what's going on.
Yeah, it made no sense. And like I said, I thought it was a cool looking sequence. If this was like a standalone movie and that was like an introductory scene between the two of them or something, maybe I would be more understanding, but it wasn't. It was just really weird. And there were other things like that in the movie, too, that I just felt like, okay. Like I said, I'm finding things to like about it. There are other things I see that really should have been fixed. Like, really should have been fixed. And I don't know. At this point, I don't know if there's going to be another movie anyway. Probably not at this rate. But I agree with you. I don't know why they didn't just pick up where the second movie left off. I mean, we've seen this. The first two movies really did a better job of capturing who Hellboy is without having to cram all this other crap into one movie the way this one does. The main thing about Hellboy is that he's this demon who's fighting to protect humans who basically fear him. It's not that different from the X-Men, basically fighting for a world that fears and hates us. You know, it's a common theme in comics. But he's also prophesied to bring about the end of the world, to bring about the apocalypse, basically. He's like the son of Satan, basically, you know, and the Del Toro movies explored that within his character across two movies. They didn't have to go through this whole thing with him like they did in this movie and make it so dark and grim. And that stuff didn't work for me, which is why I said the best part is when he's just out there fighting monsters. You know, I like seeing him alongside Ben Damio's character, who has an animal side that comes out at one point. I thought that was a cool scene. And I'm a big fan of Sasha Lane, so I liked her character as well. She plays a medium with who can, you know, contact the dead and things like that. So yeah, I thought those parts were cool. There are things about this movie to like, just probably not enough for me to give it a passing grade, but I can totally understand why somebody else will look at it differently and be like, this movie's a mess.
Yeah, it really is. And a lot of the visual effects just looked weird, very cartoony, but not always. I didn't think it was always intentional, so that was odd. And it just, yeah, overall, it just, I walked out of the theater going like, oh my gosh, I feel like I need a nap after that. I'm so exhausted from.
You came out of the theater cursing my name, didn't you? You were like.
I did. Just like, damn you, Travis. Yeah.
Sorry.
But I did not enjoy. There was nothing about this that I really was like, yeah, okay, this is fun. This is, I'm having a good time. I was miserable from start to finish.
Well, all right, let's talk about, sorry, so I gave Hellboy a passing grade. I think there's people who are Hellboy fans who may still find reason to like it. You do not give it a passing grade. All right.
You do not.
All right, before we move on, I'll get your opinion on a couple of other things that you saw. You also saw Little, which stars Issa Rae, Marze Martin, who's getting a lot of attention for her role in this, and her executive producer and story credit, because she came up with the story, and Regina Hall as well. It's sort of a reverse Big sort of situation now, which I think is pretty cool. Talk a little bit about that. How was that?
You know, Little is a really, it's an interesting movie because it's really funny, but the story is a little bit kind of all over the place, and there are these weird scenes that don't really go anywhere, and characters that just kind of disappear for no particular reason. You don't really know why they were even there in the first place, but it's so funny that I really enjoyed it, and it's like, you just, and the actors are so good. Like, you've got Regina Hall is hilarious. Issa Rae is really funny. And then Marce Martin, this girl, oh my gosh, she's incredible. And she's going to have a long career ahead of her if she wants it. And and they're just so much fun to watch. But it's like, what's that?
She's on Blackish, right?
She is. She plays the youngest daughter, Diane. Okay. And yeah, so she's great. So she's been, yeah, so she's been building her career, learning from Anthony Anderson and Tracy Ellis Ross and, you know, Lawrence Fishburne and all these great people. And so now she's an executive producer on a movie. She's got a first look deal with Universal. I mean, this kid's going
youngest
places.
Executive
she's
producer
awesome.
In history.
Youngest yeah, I think producer. So.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
What were you doing at 14? Not that.
Yeah. Not that. That's for sure. I was watching movies, but I sure wasn't making them.
Yeah.
But
you
yeah,
say,
no,
you say,
it's.
You recommend it? You recommend a little?
Yeah, I do recommend it. Go check it out. Like I said, it's, you know, it's weirdly sometimes incoherent, but it's so funny that you don't care.
All right, cool. You also saw After, which is a movie that another movie that I made you go see. This is a young adult romance, right? Stars Josephine Langford, who's the sister of Catherine Langford, who people know from 13 Reasons Why. She's going to be in Avengers Endgame in a couple weeks in a mystery role. I have an idea of who she is, but you know, whatever. Talk to me a little bit about that.
After is a interesting little movie. It actually is based on a novel by Anna Todd, who this actually started life on a website called Wattpad, where people can just like put up a chapter at a time and then anybody can come and read it. And so she was writing fan fiction about One Direction and particularly about Harry Styles, and it turned into this novel called After. And which is, I mean, the characters in it are not actually, like, it's not actually Harry Styles, but that's just kind of what inspired him, sort of in the way that Twilight inspired 50 Shades of Grey, where what you get in the end is something completely different, but that was where it started. this is a movie that it's like, I want to say there are some good things about it. Like, it really does get into things that aren't really talked about much in film, like female sexuality and just the thoughts that girls have when they're, you know, when they're young college girls and things that are kind of taboo topics are only used as jokes to set up, you know, in like really raunchy comedies. But this explores some really interesting things. And so it's hard for me to say this movie's terrible, don't go see it. But at the same time, there's a lot about it that's not very good. It's completely predictable. Every element of it you've seen in every other romantic movie, whether it's a comedy or a drama, you've seen it before. So there's nothing new here. But I think for teenagers, I think this is one that I could recommend lightly. Like, it's not a strong recommendation, but I don't think it's one to necessarily avoid.
Is it about
very strong?
Is it about sex?
Oh yeah.
I mean, I don't know the plot line at all, because the poster is very leading in that regard. It's like the first time after, you know, and it's like,
yeah,
okay.
So
it's very sexual.
The main girl. Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, the main girl, Tessa, she's a college freshman. Her mom is played by Selma Blair. She has this boyfriend who's still a senior in high school. And
Selma Blair from the first two Hellboy movies.
And there you go. There, it all ties together. But anyway, so Tessa goes off to college and she meets this guy Hardin at a party. And she's really fascinated by him, but she still has this boyfriend. But of course, they start spending more time together. And eventually, she's trying to decide, because she's a virgin, and she's trying to decide if she's ready to lose her virginity. And so it's a whole lot of build up to that. And then, I mean, it's called After, so then it's everything that comes after
hashtag
that moment.
She ready.
So.
Hashtag she ready.
Exactly. Exactly. So, I mean, it's really got some, it's got some interesting things, like I said, that I don't think there's enough of in films, especially for girls, but it's also very generic, very,
when I think about movies that deal with, you know, a girl's first time, you know, I think of a movie like 13, which ends up turning them into, you know, either basket cases or you know, promiscuous, makes them promiscuous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I've never seen them. I don't see very many movies that look at it in a more normalized way, which is, you know, your life goes on normally for the most part. I mean, I don't know. But
true. And I think one of the reasons for that is because you're going to, like, I mean, the fact is that most movies still are made by men. And it's men telling these stories about these girls. And that's one of the reasons that this movie actually kind of matters a little bit more, is that it's a female director, female screenwriters. So this is women telling the story about a girl. And that makes it a lot more significant and gives it a lot more weight, I think.
All right. Well, you can find Karen's interview with Anna Todd and the director whose name I've forgotten. Could you tell me
Jenny
her name
Gage.
Again? Jenny Gage. You can find her interview with the director Jenny Gage and author Anna Todd over on punchdrunkcritics.com right now. So everybody go and check that out. And her review of After will be up soon as well. all right, so let's take a quick break. And when we come back, you and I are going to talk The Rise of Skywalker. Yes. All right. I know you're excited. All right. We'll be right back, everybody.
We've passed on all we know. 1,000 generations live in you now. But this is your fight.
Got Karen that laugh at the end. Oh my god. Oh my god.
Did you recognize it as soon as you heard it? Oh, of course it is. Did you recognize it as soon as you heard it, or did you have to think about it?
No, I knew it was Palpatine, but then I questioned myself on whether or not it actually was. Like, maybe it's just like Snoke and I'm being stupid, but no, it's got to be Palpatine. And, you know, I'm like everybody else. I probably watched it a dozen times in a row before I actually, you know. It was funny. I was talking to Clayton, Clayton Davis, who runs awardcircuit.com. Karen knows him well.
Uh-huh.
He's your boss. I didn't want to call him your boss, but he's your boss.
I'm the boss.
I was talking to him. I was talking to him, and we were like, because we were about to have this conversation, and all of a sudden it's like Star Wars shows up, and we both just like went our separate ways, basically. we had work to do.
Yep.
And there are two. And I was telling him, like, there are two things that can send any day into chaos. It's like Star Wars or Marvel. Like, if a Marvel trailer comes out or a Star Wars trailer comes out, then that just that anything you had planned is pretty much, you know, down to crapper. And that's pretty much how it went, because I had to talk all these different places and talk about the Star Wars trailer and then give all and all this kind of crap. That was kind of my afternoon for a little while yesterday. So, but the Star Wars: The Rise of Skywalker trailer did debut yesterday at Star Wars Celebration. Like I said in the beginning, I didn't know if we were really expecting the teaser to arrive. I kind of just thought we would get the title, but we got the teaser, and it is, at least to me, it's amazing. I love seeing Billy Dee Williams back behind the Millennium Falcon again. It's funny coming off that off Solo, where it basically says, get my shit back, and Han says, over my dead body. Well, that kind of played out, didn't it? So he got his shit back. We see Daisy Ridley, of course. She's really, really at the forefront of this trailer. It makes it very clear that she is the lead character here, and not. It seems like it's going to be more her film and less of a Star Wars ensemble. She's really at the front of this. We also see some things that to me are troubling, which is kind of what I want to talk to you about, Karen. Because I think my biggest worry, coming off The Last Jedi, which I thought was really, I think, the second best Star Wars movie ever made, behind The Empire Strikes Back. It is a brilliant piece of work by Rian Johnson. But it is also the most polarizing because of all the things that he did not do that people wanted him to do. And I've been worried that J.J. Abrams would step back in here and kind of retcon everything away. And there's hints that he may have done that. Just in this trailer alone, we get scenes of Kylo Ren kind of putting his helmet back together, or somebody's putting that helmet back together. And I feel like, you know, we may be seeing a bit of backtracking here. Now, this trailer is also probably going to get the angrier elements of Star Wars riled up again. I'm sure they will. You know, to hell with them. I had a lot of fun with this trailer. What did you think about it, Karen? And what are your thoughts about this coming out now and how the fanboys are going to take it?
Oh, man. Okay, so I agree with you that Empire Strikes Back and then The Last Jedi are the correct order of the two best Star Wars films. I have spent the last 2 years defending The Last Jedi from a whole lot of babies who are just, like, insufferable. And so when the trailer came up yesterday, I was really excited. I was watching it. I was super into it. I was loving it. I agree with you. There were a couple of things where I was like, oh, I don't know how to feel, but I'm not going to make judgments yet. This is still 8 months away. Yep. And then it reveals the trailer, I mean the title, and there's just a pit in my stomach. I was just like, oh, damn. This is going to be – this just rearmed all those assholes I've been dealing with for the last 2 years because now they think that they were right and I was wrong. And all of us who have been defending The Last Jedi are about to be, you know, be schooled. And it just was like, oh, my gosh. And I've already started dealing with that. I've had so many people yesterday trying to explain to me why I'm wrong about The Last Jedi. And I'm over it. So I want to be super excited, but it's frustrating because all these guys have killed the excitement for me. So I don't know how to feel right now. But I think just as a trailer, it was really well done. It was super well constructed. I'm very excited for what's to come. I totally got emotional when I saw Carrie Fisher. You know, those little, just, I love her so much. And to see that she is going to have still, you know, one last moment, it got to me. So, I don't know. I mean, it's a Star Wars movie. How do you not be excited about a Star Wars movie?
Yeah, got to be excited for it. And it's, and I feel like those people who are coming at you now, I feel like ultimately they may end up being disappointed. I don't feel like I don't think that the title is meant to be taken literally. I mean,
I agree.
JJ, look, you got to remember who's directing it. And while I know that JJ Abrams is also a fan of nostalgia, I mean, The Force Awakens was purely a nostalgia piece, which it should have been for the return of Star Wars. It should have been a nostalgia piece. And I do expect that he will return to certain nostalgic elements in this third film. He's also the guy that basically, like, made the mystery box famous again. Like, he's that guy. He's the guy who keeps everything secret. Like, freaking Star Trek movies he keeps secret. There's no need to keep everything secret. He's doing it anyway, you know, and that's just kind of the guy he is. So I don't think that that title is meant to be taken literally. I have my own theories about what it means. I don't think we'll see the literal return of Luke Skywalker. I don't think we'll see Rey suddenly become a Skywalker. I think that he will largely stick to what Rian Johnson did while maybe backtracking on some minor things. But I think we'll see the Skywalker name come to mean something different. And I think that's what it means. I think it becomes synonymous with the Jedi or something along those lines. You know, kind of the way I'm taking it now, you know?
I agree. I mean, with the whole thing about Rey's identity, and a lot of people were mad about that. And this is my thing, is I'm not going to spend the next 8 months theorizing about what I think is going to come, because everything I'm going to come up with is probably going to be wrong. And I want to be, you know, I just want to enjoy it. But I think that one of the reasons people were so pissed after The Last Jedi was because they had spent a couple of years crafting all these theories, and then when it turned out to be not what they thought it was going to be, they were really mad about it. And I have been really worried that JJ would come back in and change that, even though clearly from a lot of the conversations, a lot of the interviews, even an interview Daisy Ridley gave back right after The Force Awakens came out, where she literally said Rey comes from nothing and her parents are nobody, and everyone just ignored that. And so I've been afraid that he was going to erase that And I don't think that he will, but that's the one thing that could just ruin this for me if he does, because I thought that was such a brilliant twist to have her not be a Skywalker. But yeah. I agree with you. I think that Skywalker name is something that will come to mean something completely different, and you know, I want to look forward to that.
Yeah, and I'm like you. I'm not one of these people that's going to. One of the things I've never done on the site, I don't post like endless theorizing. I don't write think pieces about what I think something is going to be, because I don't like doing that. I have my ideas, and I'll talk about them here or amongst people, but I don't like doing that because I don't. That's what those people who are angry over The Last Jedi said, spend all too much of their time doing, you know. And I don't want to be like that. I don't want to go in there with these sort of weird expectations, and then when they aren't met, be like, "Well, they did it wrong." Well, no, they didn't. They did it different than you, you know. And it's like, and those people who came up with theories, are basing those theories off of two previous trilogies that largely followed a formula, right? So They're expecting that this one would also follow that same formula. And that's what made The Last Jedi so good, is that it broke that formula. Because sure as hell, The Force Awakens started off going that same way. And, mm-hmm. you know, and I expect that in some way, you know, The Rise of Skywalker will return that formula. I believe there will be a redemption at the end, probably for Kylo Ren. There will probably be a redemption for him, you know, at the end of the movie. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with it sticking to that formula. The, you know, that's been sort of the theme of all three movies. And I get that, and that's good. But how he gets there is going to be what's important. And, you know, I don't want to go in there and be all, you know, why didn't they do it this way? Why didn't they do it that way? I remember how I felt in The Last Jedi when everything did not go as I expected. And I was like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
I want that feeling.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. When I saw The Last Jedi, I remember when I saw The Last Jedi, I felt like I was on a cloud for the whole rest of the day. I was so excited. I was just like, I was just like on this weird movie high where I didn't want to see anything else. I just wanted to like live in this experience for a while, because it was just so exciting to see them turn Star Wars, not turn it into something new, but elevate it to a direction that nobody really realized it could go, or didn't think that they would have the guts to take it there. And Rian Johnson did that. And it was so exciting. And it really did make it something that was like, this could go anywhere now. And I'm hoping that this Rise of Skywalker, that it will still live in that opened up universe. But I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I'm happy, you know, Disney kind of revealed this week that the Star Wars movies will be taking a break after Episode 9, after The Rise of Skywalker. I do think they need a bit of a breathe. And they do need some breathing room after this trilogy comes out. They do need to get a little bit distance. I think that's the right thing to do. I think I was always worried that they would force a Star Wars movie out there every year. And I'm glad to see they're not doing that. This is a brand they're going to have forever. There's no need, you know. It's not as if they're gonna like not make money for them in the meantime. Like, the Star Wars movies are always gonna make money, like, no matter what. Like, so they don't have to worry about it. They can afford to take a little bit of a break, and then in a couple years they'll come back and they'll have, you know, Rian Johnson's trilogy of movies, which I'm excited for that, because it's brand new characters from the guy who gave us The Last Jedi. So I'm happy about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then we have the movies from the Game of Thrones creators, which I'm excited about that too. I'm excited about anything that takes these movies into new directions. And I like the fact that they are sticking with the same filmmakers throughout them. Because the one thing I don't like about this trilogy is that I wish they had been one or the other. Either give us all J.J. Abrams or give us all Rian Johnson. You know, if you can.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
because
the
they're
thing
so,
is too,
so wildly divergent.
Yeah, well, and remember, too, that Episode 9 was originally supposed to be directed by Colin Trevorrow. He got fired, and that's why J.J. Mm-hmm. Abrams came back in. And so it's like, these all would have been directed by different people with completely different visions, and who knows what would have happened with this movie if they had stuck with Trevorrow.
Yeah, God, yeah. Colin Trevorrow.
I'm so glad they didn't
over, as much as I love, I guarantee it. And it's okay to have different directors if, you know, pretty much control of the story to the directors. So it's the main reason these things are different. I'm happy. Another area is probably like why it's coming up for Celebration weekend. I was really happy that Kelly Marie got a ovation the recent panel with the crowd really like chanting her name because she went through hell after The Last Jedi from idiots.
Yeah.
Probably some idiots who were upset about the movie as a whole.
She got so much of that.
Yeah, she had to quit social media. So I'm glad to see that not everybody out there is like them. In fact, I'm sure it's still a minority of people, but she deserves, you know, to get that kind of praise. I thought she was great in that Rose, and I'm glad to see that she's back. She's one of my favorite new characters.
Yeah.
I want to see her hook up with Finn. That just might be.
No, they're so cute together. No, they're adorable together.
I might be living vicariously through him a little bit, though, so that I don't know.
But she loves him, and she said so.
Yeah, I think that's cool. And Star Wars should be romantic like that. I mean, are they ever going to have like this fully formed romantic relationship? No Star Wars couple does. I would say Han and Leia don't either. But we've come to accept them as a couple. We get the broad strokes of their feelings. Now, I liked the development of Rose and Finn, as truncated as it was, and I want to see more of it. So I'm glad she's back. But anyway, yeah. So December can't get here fast enough. It'd be nice if they could like screen it for us critics like in May. Can they do that? Can they give it to us a little bit early?
I mean, I'll drive to Skywalker Ranch. That's fine. I'm willing to sacrifice.
I will fly my ass out there if they'll show it to me. I'll pay whatever it takes. I'm excited. I'm really excited for these movies, so I can't wait. But we got a long time to wait for those. We still got till December, and we got to get through Avengers Endgame first. That's the next big one. Ready for that, too. Is everything Disney? Everything's Disney now.
Yeah, pretty much. I think with the Fox deal, they own 60% of the studio market now.
Oh, it's just ridiculous. That's crazy. And Disney had their Disney Plus presentation this week, basically. And it just looked like, they have everything. Yeah, it's all here, okay?
When they said they were going to have all the episodes of The Simpsons, I was confused for a minute. I was like, wait, what? Oh, that's right. They own The Simpsons now. What the heck?
Yeah. 30 seasons of The Simpsons are coming to Disney Plus. I mean, the amount of content they're going to have day one is just, it trumps everything else. It's absolutely insane. We don't give enough thought.
Month.
I know. They can
it's
afford
super to, smart.
Yeah, they can afford to charge that because they know every goddamn person on the planet is going to have it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they know they can inch up that price like every year or so. Like, now it's $8. No, well, you know.
Yep. Yep, exactly.
The way Netflix does now, it's like, oh yeah, well now it's $12. You know, you're fine. Just another dollar.
Exactly. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. They have so much stuff, and they got Star Wars shows there. We got to look at the Mandalorian a little bit. The Cassian Andor series. They got another season of the Clone Wars coming back. My favorite animated series from Star Wars. I love the Clone Wars. Star Wars is still out there, very much so. So even if they take a little bit of time off, there's still plenty of Star Wars stuff that's going to be out there. So.
Oh, yeah. Star Wars is not going anywhere anytime soon.
No, never will. Never, never, never. All right. Well, show's about to wind down to the end here. Karen, thank you for calling in and talking Hellboy with me and Star Wars. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me. It's always fun.
Tell everybody where they can find you, other than awardcircuit.com. We mentioned them enough. Where else can they find you?
Well, I'm on Twitter getting attacked right now at Karen M. Peterson. I'm also on Instagram at the same handle. And you can also find me on my other podcast, the Citizen Dame podcast and the Watch and Talk. So I'm all over the place.
You're all over the place. All right. Well, thanks a lot, everybody. Check out Karen and all her other outlets as well. Thanks a lot. I will talk to you soon, I'm sure. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. And that brings our show to a close. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Where's my closing music? There it is. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to Cinema Royale. I am Travis Hobson of Punch Drunk Critics. You can find me every day at punchdrunkcritics.com. You can find Cinema Royale here on Blog Talk Radio at the Critical Movie Critics Network page. Thanks again. I will see you next week. Goodbye.